الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers. Alhamdulillah, it is the fazl, the bounty, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, that He has granted us life in this Mubarak, blessed, auspicious month of Ramadan, wherein we have golden opportunities to purify ourselves, to spiritually overhaul ourselves, and to invest in our akhirah. And it is the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted us the opportunity to search for Laylatul Qadr. Now what happens is, people generally, there is a misunderstanding, and people feel that the last 10 nights of Ramadan are only important because of Laylatul Qadr. So what happens is, if a person experiences, he has some kayfiyat, he has some experience on the 21st night or 22nd night, then he feels he has achieved what he required, and then he sits back and he relaxes. Whereas every single night and every single day in the month of Ramadan is so valuable, there is so much of blessings and so much of virtue, and therefore this is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, and we should value this gift and this bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every second in the month of Ramadan is so valuable. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah Ali mentions, he says that, I have seen my elders and I have seen certain ulama that they valued the month of Ramadan to such an extent. He said that, I have seen with my own eyes that every single day in the month of Ramadan, they would complete a khatam of the Quran Sharif. And he says that together with that, the entire night would be spent in Taraweeh and Nafil Salah, and they would survive on very, very little food, that one would wonder how they would get the energy and the strength to perform so much of ibadah. But he said, looking at them, I understood how our predecessors and how the Sahaba Ikram were able to exert themselves. So they understood the value of this auspicious month of Ramadan. Last year, approximately this time, our beloved Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi delivered his last Jummah for the month of Ramadan. Who would have known then that that would have been his last Jummah for the month of Ramadan? But alhamdulillah, listening to that bayan, there is so much of lessons and inspiration that we can take. Therefore, I feel it appropriate to mention some of those things which Hazrat Rahmatullah had mentioned then. But before we come to that, we have to understand our objective and to remind ourselves, what is our objective? And why have we been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why have we been sent into this world? And as we have been mentioning over the past few nights, that tu baraye bandagi hai yaad rakh. Remember that you have been created for the servitude, for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man and jinn. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So our objective of being created has been for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know, we have heard Hazrat Rahmatullah explaining this ibadah not merely being confined to salah, to tilawat of Quran Sharif, to our fasting and to our hajj. But rather, ibadah, Islam is so perfect that we can extend this ibadah to every single facet of our life, our daily routine, our daily activities. All of these can become ibadah merely with the correct intention. If a person, for example, he goes out to seek a halal livelihood so that he can provide for his family, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased with him, then this going out, earning a halal livelihood, will become an ibadah. If a person eats food with the intention that, Ya Allah, I'm eating this food so that I can derive energy, I can derive strength, so that I can exert myself more in your obedience. If a person did not have, as Hazrat Rahmatullah had mentioned many times, that a person says that he must kick dunya. But if a person doesn't use dunya, where will he have the strength to kick dunya? So therefore a person has to derive his energy from the food that he eats. And then he will be able to exert himself and restrain himself from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, what happens is, in the ibadat, we have different types of ibadah. One is the direct ibadah, which we all know, performing of salah, tilawat of Quran Sharif, dua, fasting in the month of Ramadan, hajj. This is ibadah, it's a direct form of ibadah. There is no other purpose for it. And the other is an indirect form of ibadah. For example, eating food can also be to derive some type of pleasure. And if a person corrects his intention, then this eating can become an ibadah. So what happens is, the indirect ibadah can become camouflaged by ulterior motives. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month of Ramadan, where we are able to exert ourselves more and charge our batteries through the direct ibadah. And when our batteries are charged, then we will use the power from these charged batteries, and we will be able to steer ourselves through the indirect ibadat. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month of Ramadan, to charge our spiritual batteries and to overhaul our cars, our spiritual cars. A person, if he has a car which is dented, a car which has got some problems in terms of the engine, so he takes that car and he sends it to the panel beater, he sends it to the auto electrician, he sends it to the mechanic to completely overhaul the car. And once all the dents have been removed and that car comes out in showroom condition, then this person ensures that the car is maintained and he will not intentionally go and bump the car in a wall. In the same way, we have all exerted ourselves in this month of Ramadan. We have tried to develop taqwa. To a certain extent, we have developed a kind of Allah consciousness. So now, as we move forward, we are coming to the end of the month of Ramadan. We have to make sure that we look after this valuable asset of taqwa and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For after all, we have heard in bayan after bayan, that the ultimate objective of fasting in the month of Ramadan is to inculcate this quality of taqwa. In one of Hazrat Rahmatullah's articles, he mentions keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. He mentions this taqwa and how important it is. It is the solution to the problems of the world. We find that the crime, murder, theft, corruption, hijacking, rape, all the different types of crimes that we can talk about, if a person has got a sense of consciousness that there is a supreme being that is watching him, that he is accountable to a supreme being, then this will restrain him. It will protect him. It will prevent him from committing such heinous crimes. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as Muslims this month of Ramadan to develop this taqwa. If every single Muslim after the month of Ramadan, he looks after this taqwa, he maintains this taqwa. Jis jaha mein rahu, jis fiza mein rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. He says to himself that in whichever environment I am, whether I am in the plane, whether I am in the train, and Hazrat Rahmatullah used to rhyme it, whether I am in the crane. In other words, whether a person is in the airport, he is in his business house, he is in the schools, the college, the university, wherever he is very, very concerned that his taqwa must remain safe and sound. A person, if he's got values, valuable, if he's got a gold coin with him, especially in South Africa, how he will look after that gold? He will make sure nobody steals it because he has realized the value of this gold. Taqwa, such a valuable asset. If we have developed a certain amount of taqwa in this month of Ramadan, and definitely you find a person, when he is fasting, he is developing Allah consciousness. Otherwise, ask yourself the question, what prevents a person? It is a hot day, he is alone at home, he is in privacy, there is nobody watching him. He can go to the fridge and take out the food. But what is it that is stopping him from partaking of that food? It is only the consciousness that my Allah is watching me. Allah will come to know. So there is a sense of Allah consciousness that is being developed in our hearts. If we can maintain this Allah consciousness that Allah is watching me, Allah is seeing every action that I am doing, then a person, we will find a society full of love, full of generosity, full of respect, where each person is concerned about fulfilling the rights of the next person. And we will find that a person will never ever usurp the property of somebody else. A person will never ever embezzle funds. No, because he realizes that my Allah is watching me. A person will not cast lustful glances. A person will not go on any porn sites, because he knows that jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. What you are doing in secrecy, remember that the one in the sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is watching. He will become aware of it. So therefore, this taqwa, if it is developed and if it is maintained after the month of Ramadan, we will find a society full of love, full of respect, full of generosity and full of unity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to develop this taqwa, to increase our taqwa and to maintain this taqwa in our lives. So we find this, the month of Ramadan, a hadith which Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had discussed, which he tied up to the month of Ramadan and most specifically to the night of Qadr. We know that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a question. She said that, Ya Rasulullah, if I find the night of Qadr, the night of power, then what should I do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then taught her a dua. He said that if you find this night of Qadr, then you should make the following dua. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. That, O Allah, you are most forgiving. Tuhibbul afwa, you love to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for opportunities to forgive His servants. It is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunities upon opportunities upon opportunities. Every night, even out of the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lower heavens and He calls out, is there anybody seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anybody who has any need that I may fulfill his need? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive the person. And as long as the person has life in him, the doors of repentance are wide, wide open. No matter how far a person may have gone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can overlook any sin, provided a person is sincere, the person has regret and remorse in his heart, and he makes a firm resolution that, Ya Allah, I do not want to go back to the sin. It is not that a person, he is making tawbah, Ya Allah, forgive me, but on his cell phone, he has still got the number of that illicit beloved, or in his pocket, he has still got the ticket to that movie, and then he's saying, Ya Allah, forgive me. So we can see that this person is not sincere in his repentance. Sincere repentance means that a person makes a firm resolution that he will not go back to that sin. Then, of course, after that, if he slips, if temptation and nafs overcomes him, then again, a person is insan, but he must not have that intention. So as Hazrat Rahmatullah used to give a beautiful example, that if a person is walking and he slips and he falls in a gutter, a sewage line on the side, he falls inside. So when he falls inside, he does not say that, no, it's fine, I'll remain here, I'll remain dirty. No, immediately he comes out, he returns back home, he changes his clothes, he has a bath, he applies itar. And then again, if he slips and falls, again he'll try and go out. This must be our condition, that we keep on trying, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us. We still have got opportunities. As Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, that these last 10 nights of Ramadan, they are like flights which are taking off. We know the Hujjaj, when they leave for Hajj, then they have got a certain amount of flights that are leaving, and then eventually all the flights are closed. So a person, if he missed the first flight, he can still go on to the next flight. If he missed the next flight, he can still go on to the next flight. So if for some reason we were negligent on the 21st night of Ramadan, then we still had the opportunity on the 23rd night of Ramadan. And now we still have tonight the 27th night of Ramadan. And we still have opportunities. So let us not be negligent. Let us take advantage of these opportunities. For we do not know how many Ramadans have been destined in our account. A person, his life has already been destined. If a person is going to live for 25 years or 40 years, so he only has 40 Ramadans. And as each Ramadan goes by, it is becoming less and less. He will never get that Ramadan back again. That opportunity will never come back again. Therefore, we have to take advantage of every second and every moment that we have. So, as Aisha radiallahu anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa taught her this dua, that, O Allah, you are most forgiving, and you love to forgive, so forgive me. So from this we understand that the night of Qadr, the night of power, is actually for to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we should actually be doing in the night of Qadr, seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali tied it up with a hadith, which is narrated by Hazrat Uqma ibn Amir radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Uqma ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, Allah Ta'ala reward Mawlana Imsaf, he is discussing Sahaba Ikram, the biographies of Sahaba Ikram. Really it revives and it instills within a person the love for Sahaba Ikram, who these people really were, what sacrifices they made, what kind of people they were, and they were really fit for the title of being shining stars and guiding stars. So Hazrat Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu, he was known as Radifu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would very, very often keep him behind on the camel. He was like the passenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a good fortune. And he was constantly with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was also instrumental in conquering Egypt. Nevertheless, he had asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question, Man Najat? That, Ya Rasulullah, how will I achieve salvation? Now look at Sahaba Ikram, look at what their concern was. Normally our concern is how I can make more money, or how I can increase the speed in my car, or how I can get a better cell phone, or where I can get a better deal. There's nothing wrong with this. But we should always make that secondary. Our main objective should be our akhirat. Investment in the akhirat. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, how will I get salvation? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him, very, very short hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him. We know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given Jawami' al-Kalim, that he could say with the usage of a few words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could encapsulate an ocean in a few words. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there, the first thing he said, Amlik alayka lisana. He said that control your tongue. So we find that this tongue, if we exercise control on our tongue, then we will be saved from so much of harm. If you look at all the harms that are taking place in the world, majority of it, whether it is between husband and wife, whether it is between parents and children, whether it is between neighbors or relatives, generally it is because of the tongue. Such a powerful tool, a person can accept, he can become a mu'min just by the utterance of a tongue. And on the contrary, a person can come out of the fold of Islam merely by uttering a few words from his tongue. A person can cause a strange woman to become his wife just by a few words. And a person can make a close companion of his, a wife who had stayed with him for years and years, he can make her a complete stranger just by uttering a few words of talaq. So therefore, we should exercise control of our tongues. And look at the word Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used, Amlik, coming from the word Malik. In other words, become a master of your tongue. It should not be that the tongue is controlling you, but you are controlling your tongue. How much of safety and security there will be in this? There is not time. Let's go to the next point. Wal yasa'ka baytuk. And let your house suffice for you. Let your home be sufficient for you. Let your home be spacious for you. Ulama ikram have explained that what this means is that a person should try and stay as much indoors as possible. Obviously, this does not mean that a person cannot go out to earn a halal livelihood, to visit the family, the relatives, but unnecessarily, without a need, to go around to the shopping centers, marketplaces, just going around without a necessity, without a need. Otherwise, even the Anbiya would go to the marketplaces, but there was a necessity, a need. A person knows what he's going for, he gets what he needs and he comes back. But this current attitude that we have, where we go to the shopping centers and we will go around window shopping, Now you find sometimes a person, look at the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam he had for his ummah. Sometimes a poor person would be going through there with his family. And what happens is those children or the wife, they see certain things and then they start putting pressure on that husband to get that particular thing. So it was out of love for the ummah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this advice that wal yasa'ka baytuk, that let your house be sufficient for you. And the final advice that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave is wabki ala khati'atik, cry over your sins. And this is how Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali had tied it up with this night of Qadr and with this month of Ramadan, that developed this quality of crying over your sins, expressing regret and remorse over your sins. So this is what we have an opportunity tonight. Alhamdulillah, the program is up. Wherever a person is going, let us take full advantage of these opportunities. We know that when it's festive season, a person applies himself, exerts himself more in his business house so that he can get more money, he can earn more profits. So now we have an opportunity to earn the true investment, and that is the investment of the Akhirah. Therefore, those people who are employers, let them show mercy to their employees. You know, give them a little time, a little earlier off. Inshallah, there will be no decrease in your takings for the day. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you much, much more. So therefore, inshallah, tonight we will be having a program in this masjid. Inshallah, the first session will be after the Taraweeh Salah till approximately 9:30. There will be three sessions. The second session will be at quarter past 10 to quarter past 11. And the final session will be at 2:15 to 3:15. Let us take out some time, whichever session we can take part in, let us try and take part. These are golden opportunities. We never know when we will get this opportunity again. Again, it comes to mind, daf'atan sar par jo a ponche ajal, pir kaha tu aur kaha darul amal. Suddenly when death comes upon a person, then where will he have the opportunity of making amal again? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to take maximum benefit from the last few moments of this month of Ramadan, and to completely spiritually purify ourselves and attain the forgiveness, the rahmat, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.